Market View on Money FM 89.3.
If there's one word we can use to describe 2020 for markets, it's volatile. From March's meltdown to the sudden recovery and all-time highs of markets, especially out in the U.S., and also the various moments of geopolitical instability and turmoil that also pockmarked markets, this has been quite the wild ride. And you'd think that low volatility stocks with low betas might have actually been a good and sensible play for the year that was. However, simply picking low volatility stocks might not have been the greatest idea, especially if it's not done properly. Today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Ms. Sarah Lean, the director for Eastspring Investments, to talk to us about what a proper low volatility strategy will look like, and if it's actually important during markets that turn so easily as we've seen over the last 11 and a half months. Ms. Lean, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health in these times, and welcome back to the show. It's been a while, ma'am.
Yes, thanks, JP.
All right. So, I took a look at Eastspring's recent note, actually, about low volatility stocks. And based on the report, you've noted that low volatility stocks have actually underperformed broader equities for the most part. In fact, the MSCI Low Volatility Index is down more than 7% and significantly worse than the All World Index year to date. Why do you think that's been the case? And what kind of lessons can we learn from this seeming discrepancy?
So low volatility was indeed less helpful in the COVID sell-off than in previous market downturns. So typically, your low vol stocks tend to be in the more defensive sectors like telecoms or utilities or real estate, and high volatility tends to be more about sectors like infotech and consumer. But given the exceptional drivers behind this year's market correction, investors did not really seek safety in your traditional defensive, high dividend yield, low volatility sectors. And instead, they headed for technology, healthcare, internet, e-commerce stocks, which they expected, and rightly so, to benefit from social distancing and stay-at-home trends and things like this. So this was not a normal drawdown. This was not an ordinary recession. And I'll give you an example. In the U.S., this has been one of the best buying seasons for high-end yachts. Here in Singapore, it was nearly impossible to buy a bicycle during the circuit breaker. So do people buy yachts and $1,000 bikes during a recession? No. In a normal recession, the population tends to be over-leveraged. They don't have money in their pockets. But this time was really different. It affected different sectors of the investment universe. And that's why those traditionally defensive areas of the market did not hold up as well as they have in other downturns.
All right. So help us understand what a low volatility strategy actually is, Sarah. And is it just simply clinging to the safe and steady all-weather stocks with low beta, or is it actually more nuanced than that? Help us understand.
So I think the broad perception is that low vol strategies buy stocks whose prices don't move as much as the market. At Eastspring, we like to take a different approach. We don't necessarily buy the lowest volatility stocks, but we build low volatility portfolios. And that may sound counterintuitive, but let me try to explain. The stocks that we buy may be volatile in their own right, so we can own tech stocks or internet stocks, healthcare names, et cetera. But since the correlations of the individual stocks will offset each other, we end up with a portfolio that's typically 20 to 30% lower volatility than the overall market, even though the stocks we own may be volatile on their own. So that's why we think we're differentiated. Our approach is different. It's less prone to crowding of factors than other low vol strategies because we're buying stocks that we think are the best stocks in their peer group, irrespective of their volatility, and then combining those very attractive stocks into a portfolio that has a lower volatility profile than the overall market.
And, you know, these low volatility stocks you mentioned, just making sure that we don't crowd this, it's more of a strategy than picking low volatility stocks. You know, low volatility stocks actually vary. Which types actually might benefit from both a lower correlation to these sharp market moves as well as potential structural upside moving forward? In terms of picking some of these sectors or looking at these particular low volatility sectors, which ones do you think actually look better as compared to, some of their peers?
Yeah, so this has been an interesting development in our low-vol portfolios at Eastspring over the year. We've seen a rotation out of financial stocks and into more healthcare stocks, which has actually really benefited our portfolios. And this has happened naturally as a result of financials being penalized by a lower interest rate environment and weaker fundamentals, while, of course, your healthcare names have become more attractive on aspects like quality and profitability and momentum because of what's going on with COVID and the pandemic. So our models have picked up on this, and, you know, we've been rotating the portfolio into that healthcare space earlier in the year, and we think that that area of the market is attractive and will remain attractive. We also still think that there's a lot of opportunity in the tech space. As I mentioned earlier, tech isn't necessarily or isn't usually associated with low vol strategies, but that area of the market has experienced a lower volatility, in fact, than other areas of the market. And so we still think that there's opportunity in that space as well.
We're still speaking to Ms. Sarah Lean, the director at East Spring Investments, today on Money FM 89.3 to talk about low volatility stocks and low volatility strategies in these very topsy-turvy times. Sarah, you know, it was also mentioned that that one thing that's worth looking at actually is something called the Sharpe ratio. Now, most people look at this as a measure of the risk-to-return ratios or qualities of certain stocks. Can you help our listeners understand what a Sharpe ratio is and if monitoring this can actually be beneficial and actually easy to implement for the average retail investor?
Yeah, I think it is, JP. I mean, the Sharpe ratio, as you mentioned, is a measure of risk versus return. So effectively, it measures the return you generate on your portfolio per unit of risk that you take on. And ultimately, investors want to generate high returns, but also they don't want to take on too much risk. So the interesting thing about low volatility strategies and the low volatility anomaly is that it contradicts what most of us learned in school or in textbooks, that you have to take a lot of risk to generate high returns, because in reality, that hasn't been true. Buying stocks that tend to be more of your steady eddy, compounding stocks that don't go down as much on the days when the market really has bad drawdowns, this will compound over time and produce higher returns than stocks that may shoot the lights out 1 year, but then get crushed the next year. So when you do have a big drawdown in the market, those stocks that correct very, very significantly, it's much harder for them to recover from those large losses. So a low vol strategy tries to avoid those stocks that will go down very heavily when the market does correct.
All right. And just taking a look at market sentiment at the moment, we know that there have been developments and positive developments with regards to a possible COVID-19 vaccine that could happen in a couple of months. But still, it seems that the sentiment, and especially for the global economy and the world, seems to be improving for the most part. And with that, we've seen risk return to the markets also so steadily. Now, do you think that in this day and age where we see the potential light at the end of the tunnel, do you think that there's still room for low volatility strategies in the coming months and in the year ahead? And if so, how would you advise investors to prepare or construct low volatility strategies in these changing times, especially in this day and age?
Yeah, I think it still makes a lot of sense to be invested in low vol strategies. I mean, we have seen a very strong rebound in equities, but acknowledge that, for example, the S&P 500 at 22 times earnings, you know, the valuations are telling a very different story to economic fundamentals, where we've seen retail sales, jobless numbers, high COVID cases, you know, in very large pockets of the world are still, you know, very concerning. So we're not out of the woods yet. We think the easy money has been made. And while we think that equity markets will broadly go up, they're not going to go up in a straight line forever, and that's precisely why being invested in a low-vol portfolio makes really good sense, because when the market does pull back and digest some of these fast gains that we've had over the last few weeks, and we saw that even happen overnight last night, post the U.S. elections and vaccine announcements and so on, that low-vol equities should experience less downside and help investors protect capital. And at Eastspring, a lot of our clients are very, very concerned about protecting capital. They've seen some good gains this year, and they want to lock those in. So we think a low vol strategy, makes really good sense for that type of risk appetite.
And just very quickly, Sarah, just to give our listeners a little bit more to chew on, is there a preferred or a potential ideal ratio, at least for low volatility stocks against high volatility right now, or does it vary on a case to case basis?
I guess I'd say it varies on a case to case basis. We've typically looked at, if you have sort of a plain vanilla balanced portfolio, 60% equities, 40% bonds. And if you look at the efficient frontier and add a low vol strategy into your asset allocation, you you know, over the long term, that will very much enhance your return profile without, you know, taking on more risk. So we think it's an all-weather type of investment, and that it is a great diversifier to a lot of the sort of balanced money that's out there right now.
Fair enough. I'd like to thank Sarah Lean, Director at Eastspring Investments, for taking some time out of her schedule today to join us on Money FM 89.3 to discuss the nuances and the place of low volatility strategies in these fast-changing market environment. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety in these times, Sarah, and we look forward to the next time you can come back on the show. In the meantime, have a great rest of Thursday ahead.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.